listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The Cleveland Browns proudly support the United Way of Greater Cleveland as they mobilize our community to advance education, income, and health. Join us and live united at unitedwaycleveland.org. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci with you here. We're going to go to the phone lines in just a second, 216-578-0850. But got a tweet that I wanted to share with you, Vic, from Behind Enemy Lines at G.I. George, who often checks in with us, and he says, "I see no evidence that Josh Gordon wants to kick the habit. I'll care as much as you, but not more than you."
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I mean,
it is an interesting perspective. And we've had kind of the gamut of perspectives, some people taking it to the extreme of addiction to harsher drugs, right? Which, on its face, is silly because you're trying to make the comparison. However, I can get the idea that if you're on a road, the road can go places you don't want it to go when the road starts. The road doesn't have to have this road, and I don't know this road happily, doesn't, as I'm told, and I've heard from those who have either read about it or talked about it with those who've gone through it, people I know, and people that I've covered in this game for years, it often doesn't have any roadblocks. You just keep going down the road, and sometimes it just gets, you know,
like
worse
from
and
marijuana
worse.
To other drugs.
It can lead, behavior being this. Alcohol leading to something else, leading to this, leading
for
to
for sure things can. You know, but the vast majority, I would say, 99% of the people I know who use marijuana have not then gone on to do other things because of marijuana. They either were doing other things at the same time, or they just don't. A lot of people smoke.
Yeah, I'm not saying, I'm not giving an A and a B, a cause and effect. What I'm telling you, though, is behaviorally, this is the problem, is the behavior. It isn't so much because you don't. The number one reason we're talking about it, that anyone cares, is the lack of availability of this player.
Correct.
Under the structure of this private business that doesn't allow this. Okay, that's
correct.
The issue. I don't want to hear principles. Well, it's allowed in some states. Yes, it is. Yep. You can go in Colorado, but guess what? If you're a Denver Bronco in Colorado and you do that, you violate the league substance policy, you're still in violation of the league substance policy. But it's legal in this state. Uh-huh. But it's not legal in the league. The private workplaces have workplace rules. This is one of them. And, you know, I don't even want to debate whether that's right or wrong or should change down the line. And maybe it will. Maybe we'll all be around long enough to see this evolve into something else. Today, here and now, those are the rules. And he's subject to it. And he's at risk of not having a career anymore, or certainly not a career in a Browns uniform anymore, the way this seems to be going down.
And I hope it stops going that way and reverses course immediately. Come on, Flash. Let's go to Alan in West Palm Beach, Florida now. What's up, Alan?
Yes, sir. What I'm concerned about is, you know, at some point, even if he's suspended, you know, whatever the time is, a year or maybe more than a year, he's going to come back. And if we cut him, we may have to play against him, and maybe even twice a year, you know, if he goes to Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati. You know, I really don't want to see that happen. He's a problem, but he's our problem. My question is there any way that when the contracts come up, can they write a contract that would say, you know, like if he gets in trouble, you know, for substance abuse, that it would cost him in his contract? Or
for sure.
If on the other hand, if he, you know, if he stays clean, he can be rewarded in his contract by some means.
Well, I'll say this. There are basic boilerplates of these contracts. When you talk about behavioral issues and such, or anything that's special language written into these deals, you've got to do it in accordance with the NFLPA, with how it's structured, because the rules of punishment, of discipline, are all bargained. Those are all based on, you don't do those separate from the union that the players have. So that's an involvement. You can't all these deals are subject to review to make sure what is in them is legal and can't be challenged and it's the right thing. To your point, can a team protect itself with certain behavioral clauses to prevent pain when you're talking about payment? Because that's really all the leagues, the teams are concerned about, is at what risk, what can they recoup in the guaranteed money that's paid out when a player violates certain aspects of his of his contract by then being suspended. So you can write the language specific to suspension and not suspension or tame. I don't know that you get a bonus for not being suspended. I kind of hope that that's you don't have to put that one in there.
Paid.
Hey, congrats, you weren't suspended. So here's some extra money. No, showing up for off-season workouts and workout bonuses and makeable bonuses and all those things that factor into your cap. But suspension and if you've been again, if you've had a proclivity to do certain things that have gotten you in trouble, I think your contract is going to be written in a way that's protecting the team from you.
Well, we had Joel Corey, a former sports agent, on the show last week from CBSSports.com, and basically what he said is that Josh Gordon will forever, going forward, be signing contracts that have very little guaranteed money up front that will be basically pay for play, that when he stays on the roster, doesn't get suspended for a full season, he'll get paid and be paid well, but that there will be complete risk mitigation in the sense that if he does act out or do anything, that money will be coming right on back to the team and not to Josh Gordon. And I hope Josh Gordon is able to go ahead and make a ton of money playing football, because it will mean that he has cleaned things up, he will get things turned around, and I hope Josh Gordon is a likable guy. When you talk to him, you like this kid, and I hope he does get it turned around and do that very well.
For sure. Don't you find it interesting, though, and I'm not just picking on one caller, but I've heard it seems like the opinion is if the Browns wash their hands of him, he's going to do great things for someone else. And, by the way, he won't have any problems. The assumption is all the problems that are plaguing him now or theoretically or seemingly to keep him off the field with the Browns, those will go away after he gets through with any suspension, because the next team, he's going to be able to play, he's going to be available. No, these issues won't continue. But they may not. What I'm saying is the issues may still bother him going forward. The magic is not in a new uniform or a new place. You worry that it comes back to haunt you, but when you make that decision, if it ever got to that point, you've decided, you've exhausted everything, and I trust Ray Farmer, Patton, this group here, of exhaustion, of are we to the point for really sure that we don't think we could do anything to help this guy out? That means someone else is unlikely to help him any more than you.
And I think the answer is no. But that's why a guy like Alden Smith is still in San Francisco. That's why these things happen, because there are stories. Aqib Talib, if you remember, was on his way potentially to be, headed out of the league, and he goes to New England and turns it around. People do that. It happens. You don't want to see it happen. You want Josh Gordon for himself, for his sake, to turn it around now in the short term. And also, obviously, it's good for the Cleveland Browns as well. And Jimmy Haslam said he's going to be a Brown for a long time. And clearly the strong preference is for this team and Josh Gordon to be able to work things out to help this young man so that he can get his life where he wants it and play football where he wants it. Nobody's above the rules. I know that. And nobody at some point, that risk decision, the risk and reward decision, that calculation may come out on the point where he's not worth the risk. The Giants made that determination with Will Hill this morning, and he has now been put on waivers and has been released by that team. All right, when we come back, hopefully we don't have to talk about this stuff much longer, because I hope we get to talk about only good things now, like fun times in Vegas on this show. When we come back, we're going to hear Drew Brees talking about the advice he would give Johnny Manziel. We'll also hear Mark Brunell, another former quarterback in this league, talking about Kyle Shanahan's comments that RG3 and Johnny are very similar quarterbacks. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, it's Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. Waiting on you to look.